Chapter 2. Collection Coin. Subtropical aqua blue skies, dotted with puffs of white cumulus clouds, drift along Florida's Gulf Coast. Tropical vegetation surrounds a small group of men exchanging low-key salutations. This is by no means an ordinary day in the spring of 1972. Rarely does a group like this come together. They're professionals who meet one another in an informal atmosphere. World War II survivors who served together for several decades make up the group. Their various exploits often involve participating in operations across the globe. They rendezvous at their favorite stateside gathering spot. It's a small park just south of Tampa Bay. The park is situated close to a discreet, single-story motel. On the other side of the bay, within the confines of MacDill Air Force Base, lies the United States Readiness Command Headquarters, or REDCOM. In 1983, it underwent a name change to the more familiar Central Command or CENTCOM. Participants have interacted with both installations over the years. The antiquated motel operates in a quiet equatorial setting along the Gulf Shore. It just so happens to also double as one of their safe houses. The park's picnic tables stand under a cluster of royal palms, providing welcome shade for their open-air office. The steady breeze coming off the Gulf supplies relief from the normally high humidity. It would be challenging to find a more diverse, yet closely knit, crew of experienced covert operators in one place. Roy, a tall, burly man with a permanent smirk on his face, says, "More than 100 million soldiers and civilians died in two world wars. Should this current trajectory continue, a third world war is imminent. A third world war will without a doubt be nuclear." The tall, thin, soft-spoken man with leathered skin wears a faint smile on his face. Willie adds, "That's why we're here, to keep wars limited to smaller shooting wars. And we control who does the shooting." The man with a chiseled face, seemingly made from granite, built like a bull, is Sonny. He's of Hispanic American descent, average height, and laser-focused. Remember, one well-placed shot can defuse a potentially fatal altercation. That single deed can save thousands to millions of innocent lives. I've no problem pulling that trigger. Rick silently raises his head, revealing a vacant expression. He briefly turns to each member before sharing a disconcerting thought with the entire group. If there is a next world war, there's little doubt it will be nuclear. Within days, entire civilizations will disappear. We were too close to the nuclear option with Cuba back in 62. All of us were in the thick of that one. We can't allow that kind of situation to evolve ever again. This is especially true given the present spread of Soviet dominance worldwide. Willie looks directly at Rick and gently adds, "I totally agree with that sentiment. The situation engulfed us all. We expected a sudden mushroom cloud to occur at any time." Palm fronds continue to sway in a tropical rhythm with the Gulf breezes. They spare the group from the direct rays of the equatorial sun. Sensing a serious conversation evolving, they begin seating themselves around a weather-beaten picnic table. Their talk continues as they focus on more current, pressing issues. They casually refer to the CIA as the company. That phrase garners much less attention. Their main focus is to work unnoticed. The company acknowledges Roy, Willie, and Sony as its assets. To keep their allegiances concealed, the company provides them with official covers, OC. In addition to other government perks, they receive monthly wages deposited in covert accounts via shell corporations. The company also authorizes each of the three to acquire additional resources required through front corporations specifically established for that purpose. If there is ever a breach in their operating cover, the company will protect them. They will receive an official star on the agency's wall of honor if the worst-case scenario ever occurs. Conversely, Rick functions as an independent asset. He operates as a shadow inside the boundaries of clandestine intelligence operations. In the company's eyes, he's a ghost. With a non-official cover, NOC. That is to say, they deny knowing anything about him. It's up to him to find a way to survive if an operation goes wrong. Under layers of concealment, he masks any connection to the company. The only way he can interact with them is through his controllers. They serve as official contract agents for the company. In order to cover his expenses, he must leverage his unique abilities to generate funds. These include living expenses plus any required additional operational resources. His public persona is that of a well-meaning small business owner. Not a single connection to any government intelligence agency exists. Roy explains. "Rick, keep in mind that within the company, you're considered a ghost. Translation, the company will consider your cover blown if they discover anything linking you to them. At that point, termination of some sort will transpire. You've been doing one hell of a job with us for decades. You take all the risks while receiving zero direct compensation or acknowledgement. Even though I don't envy your circumstances, I greatly admire the work you've accomplished. Casually sitting on top of the picnic table, Roy focuses on Willie. Comrade, it was the weakness of one American president that caused our Bay of Pigs expedition to fail. He eventually paid dearly for his transgressions. Administrations, they come, and they'll go. We're here for the long haul. For the foreseeable future, I'll be on a midnight boat in and out of Cuba as well as Point South. Where are you headed? Willie, staring at his hands and rubbing his weathered skin, responds, Africa's becoming hot again. Russian and Chinese advisors are engaging in more nefarious actions. Sometime soon, I'll be working directly with the Irishman. Dot. I'll also be pooling other assets to keep the communists in line and clear of the Dark Continent. I'll have access to mercenaries, local militia, plus US and foreign assets at my disposal. It should be a fun ride. I believe I'll also be traversing South America and Asia from time to time. If I land in your neighborhood, you can buy me a drink. Roy fixes his gaze on Sony. And you, my fine friend? You'll find me in your backyard from time to time. I'll be in touch when I do. While smiling, Sony continues, I'll also be working on a few separate shenanigans, which I'll leave entirely to your imagination. And you, compadre? Willie inquires with a casual glance in Rick's direction. With a mischievous smile on his face, Rick says, I'll mainly be working in country, flushing out. Rats. Dot. You might see me from time to time as I bounce around. Only ghosts can work in country on company projects. I'll definitely be checking in with Roy when he's somewhere between Key West and Tampa. There are a few other things currently in the works. Once everything solidifies, I'll provide more details then. Sony stares blindly at the group, then remarks, It seems like we all have our duties well defined. I suppose it's time to get to work. By the way, the accepted means of communication will remain in use. With a smile on his face as he begins to stand, I'm heading downrange far south, guys, so until we meet again. Hasta luego, amigos, hasta la próxima, so long, friends, until next time. The group agrees. As the impromptu meeting adjourns, each member now heads toward their own destiny. Two individuals who are not in attendance are part of the company's top echelon, Sandy and Pierre. They've earned their promotions to the top levels of management by being especially effective at their jobs. Both served for decades with distinction in the field at overseas postings. They both succeeded at carrying out extremely complex and risky operations. They've earned reputations as highly resourceful, cunning, and driven individuals. The group has worked with them for over 20 years. Sandy, sometimes referred to as the Sandman, is a tall, slender, reserved, and mysterious gentleman. He's as cool a character as they come, heading up the company's Special Operations Group, or SOG. Members from that silent fraternity make up a majority of the intelligence stars that grace the memorial wall at the CIA headquarters. Willie, who's normally modest, has questioned Sandy in the past. You're the head of SOG, but your team has lost the most assets during company operations. How do you cope with seeing the stars of your deployed assets on the memorial wall every time you enter? Sandy's response is straightforward. True, but if we didn't attempt those operations, the body count would be exponentially increased. I don't send anyone to their deaths. I send them to do a job. We give them an abundance of training and support to get the work done. But like any job, the unexpected occurs. Statistically, we do very well. Yeah, I get it. Even one soldier's death is one too many. I have made the effort to get to know a few of them. I think about their work every day. We recognize their mission is a necessary component of our work. They are aware of the challenges and potential risks. They do not enter the situation blind. The Frenchman is a flamboyant character, a man of medium height and build with a long history involved in covert operations. Pierre has been in the trenches for decades, having started in France during World War II. He was an early member of the Office of Strategic Services, or OSS. He worked with resistance forces, special forces, and operations involving overt and covert missions on multiple continents. Over the years, he has served with several global intelligence organizations. Also fluent in French, Spanish, Italian, and English. he rose through the ranks by completing the hardest missions worldwide. His consistent positive results have garnered him recognition at the top ranks. Legends originate from the work he conducts among clandestine operators. Pierre's activities have become yarn shared among the elite. Both Sandy and Pierre presently hold management positions within the company. They are no longer considered expendable and seldom found outside the office. On the other hand, Willie, Roy, and Sony oversee continuing field operations. Rick is the enigma. The wildcard. He's his own boss but interfaces directly with his company controllers.